when you listen to these recordings from, let's say, Vienna or Salzburg or, you know, in the 50s and 60s, it was a different concept of making music. It was a different idea of what Mozart should be. And I think that came from a lot of the conductors at the time. Some recordings are extremely elegant and well-crafted, but I think for the most part, there's a heaviness there that is unnecessary. It's my personal opinion. I lie somewhere in between both of these interpretations. I believe I kind of live in the middle of Carrion and, let's say, John Elliott Gardiner, or Carrion and Harnoncourt, let's say. Harnoncourt paved the way of cleanliness for Mozart and what the instruments were able to do and what they did naturally, these original instruments. I had the pleasure of doing Così with Age of Enlightenment. But would I do it always with Age of Enlightenment? No, absolutely not. I think it was a beautiful experiment, and it opened my ears to many different possibilities. But I think the modern instruments we have today, they're not so modern in the sense that they're, you know, hundreds of years old, what most people are playing in the Chicago Lyric Opera. And they make a beautiful sound, and they have capability of making a sound that fits my world of Mozart, that's in between these gut string instruments and these instruments we have today. So I think that the art of sustaining, or let's say the art of playing more transparent, is essential for the for this Mozart sound, this perfect Mozart sound. And I don't think the sound of exists in Mozart, you know, this sostenuto that drives to the end. He never had that in mind, so you have to keep that in mind when rehearsing these natural diminuendos. Very rarely did he write, you know, these extremity of dynamics that didn't have a little bit of give between the two. So I think, like I say, I'm somewhere in the middle, and I'm very happy being there. And I think I've always been there. I think maybe that comes from the recordings I've heard. It comes from the people I've worked with, and I learned so much from the Vienna Philharmonic, so much from Age of Enlightenment Orchestra. But most importantly, it's how you describe to the musicians the sound that you want. It's how you achieve the sound that you want. If I look back to the first time I did the piece when I was 21, I had a lot of stupid ideas. And I had a lot of tempi ideas that I thought were absolutely right. And now, today, at 38 years old, I'm a lot more willing to give in to something if it works in the moment. So, for example, if someone's voice is spinning at a certain rate, and there's a tempo that works in her voice or his voice, I'm willing to adjust because I think it's natural. I think music has a give and take. And I think many of these conductors start off with these ideas. They figure out from reading whatever they read or researching whatever they research that this is the ideal tempo for this piece. But that's not human. That's not the reason we make music. I mean, you might as well be designing a computer program to create the perfect Mozart sound or the perfect Mozart voice. In the past, I've heard certain voices that blow my mind, like Lucia Popp. In my mind, she's the ideal Susanna, and I have yet to find that kind of voice again. But it's fun to have that in my mind and try to describe what I'd like. And occasionally, these young singers I meet are close to that or similar to that, and it makes me so happy. But I love having the reference from the past. I think there's a lot to learn from the past, not just from Mozart, but from how we got to, you know, 2018.